The MQ-9 Reaper defined U.S. drone wars for two decades, but the next era may be shaped by a very different premise. Not building unmanned aircraft to survive every fight, but fielding them cheaply and in enough numbers that losing some no longer breaks the force. This month, the Warzone TWZ reported that General Atomics has unveiled the Wildfire Unmanned Aerial System, a next-generation medium-altitude, long-endurance drone intended to address critical shortages in the U.S. military's reconnaissance and strike fleet. The announcement aligns with the U.S. Department of Defense's DoD Defense Innovation Unit, DIU proposals for the Massed Modular Aircraft, MMA program, which aims to replace the MQ-9 Reaper. The U.S. Air Force urgently requires a transition because the legacy Reaper is out of production and has sustained severe attrition, reportedly losing at least 45 aircraft, roughly a quarter of the U.S. fleet, during the Iran War following earlier losses to Houthi forces. To counter peer adversaries like China, the DIU mandates a cost-effective, scalable platform capable of autonomous swarming, carrying a 1,270-kilogram payload, and executing extended missions in high-risk environments. General Atomics engineered the Wildfire to exceed these baseline requirements, projecting capabilities including an 18,520-kilometer ferry range and integration of long-range anti-ship missiles, LRASM. Although the U.S. DoD targets an initial operating capability for the MMA program in 2031, General Atomics asserts that the Wildfire can be fielded years earlier. Company officials frame the new aircraft not merely as a disposable Reaper replacement, but as an immediate, heavily armed combat backfill. The core problem is that the Reaper remains operationally valuable precisely because of the capabilities that also make it expensive, difficult to replace, and increasingly ill-suited to wars where unmanned aircraft may have to be lost in large numbers. Kyle Gunn and Nicholas Slayton write in a March 2026 Task and AMP Purpose article that the Reaper occupies a vital operational Goldilocks zone as a proven, reliable intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance ISR platform offering unmatched endurance. Rather than retire the airframe, Gunn and Slayton note that the U.S. Air Force and Marine Corps are extending its utility through critical modernizations, including extended-range fuel pods enabling 30-hour missions, electronic warfare pods to mitigate stealth deficiencies, and advanced standoff strike munitions. However, the Reaper has become an increasingly expensive aircraft to lose, with the U.S. Air Force estimating that a fully equipped MQ-9 can cost up to US $50 million, depending on its sensor package. This was less of an issue in low-threat environments during the Global War on Terror, GWOT era, where enemy ground forces couldn't effectively counter it. But with adversaries ranging from Iran to the Houthis now capable of shooting down Reapers, and with their production line closed since 2025, such losses are becoming increasingly difficult to absorb. These shootdowns expose fundamental design limitations. Engineered for an era of unchallenged U.S. air superiority, the Reaper prioritizes long loiter times and payload capacity over stealth, agility, and defensive electronic countermeasures. When descending to lower altitudes for essential ISR and battle damage assessments, its relatively sluggish flight and significant infrared signature make it acutely susceptible to lethal pop-up strikes. A major driver of this vulnerability is the proliferation of mobile surface-to-air threats and dispersed air defense batteries operating under contested electronic warfare conditions. Such attrition may have forced the U.S. to reactivate older, less capable Predator drones. That doesn't mean the Reaper has failed outright. It has been dubbed the most valuable player in the ongoing Iran war due to the sheer number of strikes it has carried out compared with manned platforms. Just as importantly, Reapers allow U.S. forces to sustain strikes without putting aircrews at risk. Losing equipment remains far more acceptable than losing personnel. However, each Reaper downed represents a significant loss of ISR capability. Each unit destroyed in the Middle East means less that could be deployed in other theaters, such as Eastern Europe and the Pacific. More broadly, Javed Ahmed and Colin Clark argue in an April 2026 Cypher Brief article that the era of relying on exquisite, multi-million-dollar platforms like the Reaper is rapidly giving way to cheap, mass-produced attritional warfare. Ahmed and Clark note that modern conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East are increasingly dominated by inexpensive, expendable systems that employ a deliberate strategy of economic exhaustion. By overwhelming advanced defenses, these cheap drones impose unsustainable costs on air and missile defenses. They argue that the U.S., optimized for high-end precision strikes in relatively uncontested environments, finds itself structurally unprepared for this shift. While the Reaper defined drone warfare during the GWOT era, the U.S. Air Force may already be in the early stages of adapting to a new era of drone warfare, characterized by attritable mass in denied environments. The Reaper's successor may therefore look less like a single exquisite platform than a fleet of smaller, cheaper, and highly adaptable semi-disposable drones. Harrison Cass argues in a June 2026 article for the National Interest. Cass writes that to operate in heavily contested airspace, including China's advanced anti-access networks, the U.S. military is prioritizing attritable mass over expensive invulnerability. Crucially, Cass notes that the U.S. Air Force demands an open software architecture, eliminating costly vendor lock-in and enabling continuous updates without relying on proprietary contractor systems. Still, significant doubts remain about the U.S.'s ability to quickly field a Reaper replacement at scale. A July 2026 Project on Government Oversight, POGO, article points to the military's historically sluggish acquisition process and questions whether the U.S. DoD can realistically demand groundbreaking innovation while giving contractors just 16 days to respond to such an ambitious uncrewed aircraft solicitation. Paul Scharr similarly argues in a July 2026 Foreign Affairs article that the U.S. defense industrial base struggles to build cost-effectively, respond rapidly, and scale production. Decades of defense manufacturing have pushed the U.S. higher up the cost curve toward increasingly sophisticated, expensive, and low-production-run platforms, such as the Reaper. If the wildfire is to mark a genuine break from the Reaper era, its real test will be whether the U.S. can resist the temptation to turn an attritable design into another exquisite platform whose growing cost, complexity, and production burden make it too scarce to lose. Getting rid of Reaper is very convenient after Iran shot most of them out of the sky with Chinese missile. They're practically useless, so it's all the kit the U.S. left on all those destroyed bases. All useless. You give Iran any good enough Chinese tech and watch them take down the U.S. military. Wait for AI war management. FYI. In mid-March 2023, Russian fighter jets forced down an MQ-9 near Crimea coast and recovered it from underwater. After this incident, U.S. stopped MQ-9 missions over Black Sea near Russia and Ukraine and started manned reconnaissance flights by NATO. The vulnerability of MQ-9 started after this incident. LOL.